Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Just tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Thank you guys for tuning in on the American Christian Network affiliates in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho, and all of you guys outside the wire in the occupied zones that are outside the free zones, you're in our thoughts and prayers. Thank you guys for your support and for your prayers. And we got a special guest coming up. I'm going to introduce here in just a second. It's an annual tradition here at Radio Free Redoubt, so we're happy to have him back. But I want to ask you guys if you could carefully consider supporting Radio Free Redoubt. And some of you guys, you send in $5, $10, $20 a month, and all of that adds up, and it really, really helps us be able to keep going with the growing costs as we continue to grow. But there's one thing you can help that won't cost you any more. We're already about ready to go shopping. And most of us, if you're like me, you do your shopping online on Amazon.com. It, especially Prime, it's like instantly, it's at your doorstep. It's so simple. You can avoid the crowds. But you guys know that they have affiliate fees that they pay out, or they just pocket if they don't have to pay out. So it doesn't cost you any more, but it's their way of saying thank you for sending business to us, and here's a little bit of a kickback. And all that adds up too. So if you go to the banner at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Amron.com and tell your friends, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com first, click on the Amazon banner, then go do all your shopping for everything you want. And you buy something for 10 bucks, they kick us 50, 60 cents. And, you know, it all adds up. So just please consider that. And with that, let's go to our guest. As I said, this is a annual tradition here at Radio Free Redoubt, because this time of year we're thinking about food. It's my favorite time of year, fall. And we're having a beautiful fall this year. And it came up so fast, but Thanksgiving is next week. So it is an honor and a pleasure to bring a patriot and preparedness-minded subject matter expert in this area, Chef Keith Snow. Is the author of the best-selling cookbook, Harvest Eating Cookbook, the Harvest Eating Cookbook. He's also the host at the Harvest Eating Podcast, and he's also a subject matter expert on the Expert Council for the Survival Podcast, where he offers advice on food prep and preservation for over 100,000 listeners per day. Well, he's got a lot of experience, and he's brought that around full circle to help you and I become more resilient, how to roll in healthy living and healthy food storage, how to live off of that and use that stuff and be smart about it. So, Chef Keith Snow, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Now, I do want to talk just briefly a little bit about this, it's the Thanksgiving University, a series of episodes that you did, and I want to get on to talk about some of the stuff that you've done, how your outreach has really grown and expanded, and talk about the value of that. But let's talk about Thanksgiving University. How'd that come about?
Sure. Well, you know, through the years, doing a podcast, which is, you can find it in iTunes, Harvest Eating Podcast, also at harvesteating.com. Through those episodes, which I've been doing those for about 7 years, and also answering so many questions for folks over at the Survival Podcast, and just taking a lot of emails and contacts on social media, it's clear that this time of year presents a lot of challenges for folks who are cooking. And, you know, if you can picture in your mind, I always use the example of the young couple. You know, maybe they're, you know, just in their 30s, and the wife may be cooking the meal for the first time, and the in-laws are coming over and relatives, and there's a lot of pressure. And that pressure causes people to be a little stressed out, and they reach out to me in a lot of cases. So I'd be answering the same type of questions you know, surrounding preparing these type of holiday feasts all the time. So I decided to donate or not donate, but direct a lot of my attention to the podcast and doing a series called Thanksgiving University. If you go to, let's just say you went to iTunes Music Store or to Harvest Eating and you search for Thanksgiving University, it's, I think it's episode 193 to like 2001. So quite a few episodes were completely directed to things like gravy and roasting the perfect turkey and side dishes and homemade cranberry sauce and all that stuff. So it was just my way of putting out some information that people could use and listen to while they're driving home from school or work or whatever. And it's been very popular through the years.
Yeah, it has. Very popular. And I'm happy to pass that along for folks. So we don't have to re-ask those questions again. The most commonly asked questions about that are already taken care of. And we'll provide the links also to all of the resources we're going to be talking about in today's highlights and resources posting at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Okay, so let's talk about what you've got going on right now. You've got the Food Storage Feast course. Describe that and talk about how that got started and exactly what it does for folks that are looking for resources to get the most out of their food storage and be smart in their planning about it and using it.
Sure. Well, I guess it goes all the way back to 2008. Back then I was filming a television show. It's called Harvest Eating. It went out on cable TV nationally. And we had a pretty good crew of people working and a major corporate sponsor. And that was right when the banking crisis hit. And after the banking crisis hit, we got an email from the lawyer over at this major company that if I mentioned the name, everybody would know it. And they said all spending would be frozen because of this banking crisis. And we had a contract with, you know, specific payments. And without those payments, there's no way I could pay the crew. And they stopped the payments for a while. They wound up paying everything, but they did scare the heck out of me. And I started to realize, wow, I mean, I am completely dependent on, you know, that money coming in. And then my cookbook came out in 2009, and I was traveling, you know, all over the country doing events, you know, Epcot at Disney and up in New York City and in France and
yes,
the New York Botanical Garden. And that's just what you do when you're promoting a book. And I'd be leaving my family at home, my wife with a couple of young kids. And we really didn't have any food storage. We just had real chefy ingredients, expensive cheeses and, you know, fresh produce and wild game and things like that in a freezer, but nothing you could call preps. So after all that, I started thinking, you know, I need to figure something out. So I went on the internet, and sometimes that's a bad place to go because there's a lot of fear mongers out there trying to sell you, you know, pallets of boiling bag foods and just stuff like that. And people make a lot of bad choices when they're getting into this.
Right.
So I started to store foods, and I was buying rice and beans and oats and putting things up in buckets and select freeze-dried foods, you know, peanut butter, tuna fish, whatever it was, putting a lot of things away. And then I realized through the years that, yeah, it was in there, but I never used it, and it just would be sitting in there. And people were reaching out to me from a lot of different avenues, a lot of social media requests. So, you know, how do we cook with this stuff? We've got all this food. And, you know, 2008, 9, and 10, 11, another collapse hasn't come. And people are starting to think, you know, maybe I should start cooking with this stuff. And then they're also seeing that since the collapse, you know, governments around the world have just piled the debt on even more and more.
Yeah.
So what they couldn't pay off in 2008, they definitely can't pay off now. So it's, you know, you could say it's a house of cards to some degree, and everybody should be storing food. And I realized, and a lot of people were coming to me saying, how do I cook with this stuff? What can I use it for? So I thought, you know, I need to put together a course to help people cook with this food. And I contemplated it for a couple of years without actually doing it. And then I said, the only way I can really do it, because I'm the type of guy that likes to give information on things that I actually do myself. I don't want to be a hypocrite and tell people to cook with their stored food when I never do it.
Right.
So in April of 2016, I told my wife and kids, I'm not going to the store anymore. We're going to be cooking out of our long-term storable pantry and then our other, you know, deep everyday pantry. And, you know, the people, my family was a little nervous because they're used to fine meals all the time because I cook literally every day. And so I just stopped going to the store, and my grocery bill was around $2,000 a month for a family of five. Now, that's extravagant for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Many of those costs were because I develop a lot of recipes, but started to cook out of the long-term pantry and develop a ton of different recipes and techniques to use rice, beans, oats, corn, wheat, a lot of different stored sauces and bottled ingredients and you name it, just tons and tons of things. And after 1 month, I noticed that we all felt pretty good because it's very comforting food. Our grocery bill was down at least 60%, and everybody was happy. There was, you know, I didn't have to go to the store every day, so it was a really good thing. And then I started building this course, Food Storage Feast, which is at foodstoragefeast.com, and it's a collection of written materials. I partnered with a homesteader that lives in the wilds of Montana. He's just an excellent writer. And he took care of all the written information about why you want to store foods and, you know, about emergencies. And we do it in a way that's not fear-mongery. It's just very practical information. It's designed to get you to start thinking about storing food and what to store. And then we broke everything down into sections like rice, beans, wheat, corn, the things that I've been saying. And we've developed lots and lots of recipes and videos. Each recipe will have a video, and it's not the type of video where you've got, you know, a chef with the white hair and the jewelry and all that kind of hype and just right. over the top stuff. You only see me from, you hear my voice and you see me from the elbows down. It's the food that's the star of the show, and I show in depth how to make each and every recipe, and there are dozens and dozens of videos in that course. And it's on a learning platform that takes you through. It knows what you've completed. There's a way that you can interact with other students. So it's a really interactive, you know, very voluminous course on storing food.
Right.
And it's been very successful, and people have enjoyed it. And I add content to it literally every week. So it's a living, breathing resource for people that want to learn how to save money, eat better, and, you know, become more prepared. Because you think, and this is what people go wrong, John, is they think, all right, I've got, you know, stuff in the pantry. But if you had to switch tomorrow to cooking with stuff in the pantry, opening buckets, taking large supplies of things, going into wheat berries, or cooking all this stuff for a family, it might be difficult, because a lot of people that are listening probably eat out 3 or 4 times a week,
right.
Bring in food, order food in. If all that went away, like with a natural disaster or what have you, could you really do it? Could you cook from your stored food? And it's one of the things that we outline in the course, is all the times in the last, I don't know, decade, where it wasn't any financial collapse, it wasn't zombies or anything like that, it was weather events, tornadoes, hurricanes, blackouts. These things happen a lot more than people really think. And what would happen, you know, if you've got hungry kids and you don't know how to cook from that stored pantry? So my idea is getting people into that stored pantry, filling it up, cooking from it, and learning to use it. It's I always give the example of, you know, you have a spare tire and a jack in your car. So yeah, you feel safe. If you get a flat, it's no problem. But have you ever actually changed the tire?
Right.
Do you know where the jack is? Do you know how to unscrew it? Do you know how to put that flimsy piece of junk together?
Exactly.
Can you know, when you're on the side of the highway and you realize your lug wrench is 6 inches long with no leverage, I mean, can you figure out how to get the bolts off? So the same scenario
right.
is just encouraging people to become more resilient and do what folks did generations ago, and that's cooking from a home pantry. So that's what the course is all about.
That's so true. Yeah. And I was going to say, you know, how many I helped somebody change a flat tire and the spare was flat. You know, when was the last time you checked your stuff? And when was the last time you actually tried to put it to use? It's really important. And for the brand new person that's never really considered long-term food storage on that level, like bulk type storage, the reason it's why would you use it? I mean, you got to store it up. Why break into it? And, you know, that's my long-term storage, because you need to rotate the stuff. And, besides just practicing with it so you're proficient with it and when it's needed, you have to rotate, this food. Otherwise it will go bad and you're starting over every 7 years, tossing stuff out. And it's wasted. So, yeah, really important stuff. But, hey, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. I want to thank Works LLC, Works Holsters, for sponsoring this segment. Works Holsters, lifetime guarantee, custom-made holsters right here in the American Redoubt. Support a patriot-owned business. If you're in the market for a holster, which should be, if you're not, go to works.com, W-E-R-K-Z.com. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go away.
I believe the strength of a nation lies at its core, the family. With the busy day-to-day lives we sometimes find ourselves in, set aside time for the family, a time that's sacred and is never compromised, a dedicated portion of the day to just focus on one another. Ronald Reagan said, "All great change in America begins at the dinner table." I fully agree. And that means no texting, surfing the internet, watching TV, or eating alone in a bedroom or the living room. That time belongs exclusively to your family, so guard it. You might be amazed at the difference such a simple routine can make in your family. Who knows? Maybe something greater than yourself could come out of it. I'm Violette Sabo with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Radio. Free. Readout.
We are back at Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of resistance against everything that set itself against our rich American heritage. Thank you guys for being in the fight. And standing up for righteousness, standing up for American values and tradition. And I'm really, actually, you know what? I was thinking about this. I kind of went through a frustration period where it just seemed like people don't care. They're just not, they're not paying attention. We're seeing it all just being eroded away. But, and then I look around, I see the people that are, they got their sleeves rolled up and they are in it. They're just fighting for it, and I'm so grateful for that. And you're all invited. You know, there's an adversary trying to take away everything that we value and cherish, and we need to be able to be willing to preserve that for generations to come. I want to thank our sponsor this segment, RiverfrontSuites.com. It's fall. It's the time of year just to snuggle up by the river in St. Mary's, Idaho. If you need a place to lay your head for the weekend just to get away, go to RiverfrontSuites.com. Support a patriot-owned business. All right, we're back with our special guest, our annual tradition of having Chef Keith Snow with us. And we're talking about food storage and the food storage feast. And the training that comes with all of that, the Food Storage Feast course, and why we're doing it. So, Chef Keith Snow, thank you for being with us.
It's good to be with you, John. Glad to be talking about this.
Now, I there's several things I want to follow up with here. This is exciting, and I'm excited about this course. I was just checking out your website because so much of this has developed when I wasn't paying attention, I wasn't looking, and you've added so much content, and I think it's really pertinent because it's unique. Nobody that I'm aware of is teaching people these kind of skills, and it's really super important. There was an estate sale recently, and I actually scored on about 25 buckets with the gamma lids, and there's everything from corn, like dried corn, there's wheat, there's beans and rice, all of this stuff. It was awesome. So how do I go through this stuff to make sure it's sealed? It's in the Mylar bags. Some of it's open, some of it's not. A lot of it that, you know, has already been open because they're using it, which is a good thing. What am I looking for to make sure everything's okay, then still good to use?
That's a great question. And I mean, some things last longer than others. I mean, one of the misconceptions that people have about beans, for instance, now beans, they will not rot. I mean, you can have beans and they don't necessarily need to be, in Mylar. I mean, they don't need oxygen absorbers and to be like vacuum packed. If you just have them in a bucket and they come right in the plastic bag from the store, or if you bought them in a 50-pound bag and just put them in the buckets, they will last a long time. But after about 5 to 7 years, beans become increasingly difficult to cook because you can't really see it, but in the bean itself is a little teeny hole, and that and I forget, there's a technical name for it, but it allows the bean to cook. But the older the dried beans are, the longer it takes to cook them. They do last, and there's nutrition in there, but that's why you want to rotate these things. So I would say if you have beans that are 5 years old, you need to start cooking those. Now, rice lasts a lot longer. Wheat lasts a lot longer, but I would inspect it. And, I mean, if it's any one of those three ingredients, and if it's under 10, 12 years old, if it's been stored properly, there's no evidence of any bugs or rodents, you're probably good to go. And I would, you know, certainly smell it and inspect it. But it just depends on the conditions, too, that it was stored in. I mean, one thing which is challenging for most people, because depending upon where you live in the country, there's certain things that can really erode the life of your stored food. And temperature change is a big one. And you have to figure out, like, let's just say you're in, I don't know, North Carolina. I mean, it can get into the single digits in the winter and then up to 95 degrees and super humid in the summer. That's a really big temperature change and condition change for stored food. So that's why it is important to have them in the buckets. And, you know, if you have the time and the inclination to do the Mylar thing, that's even better. But I would just give them a good inspection, maybe make a test batch and just taste it and let your taste buds and your nose tell you if that stuff is good.
That's really good advice, and I'm going to actually do that. I'm going to cook some of those up. I'm going to pull some of those out and do that. They might have to soak for 3 days, but that's okay. All right, so here's something that is I know has affected, it impacted our family and just about every other family that I know of. There are so many autoimmune diseases and reactions and allergies and stuff to foods. When I was growing up, I never heard of, you know, lactose intolerant and autoimmune diseases and not being able to have, you know, wheat and gluten. And it was just, you were just kind of a strange weirdo if you couldn't eat stuff like that. Now it's common. There's so many people having allergic reactions to the stuff, GMO foods and so on, that people are on special diets. They're trying to cut out wheat or certain foods. How do you roll that into your plan when so many people out there, I mean, when so much of what's available is really bulk wheat, all the stuff that causes inflammation for people that are having, you know, these health issues with the food today. How do you consider that?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. And I think when you're talking to an audience like yours and the audience that I talk to as well, there's a lot of people that are meat eaters and homesteaders, and they eat a lot of dairy. And then, of course, a lot of people probably don't know how much of this stuff that they eat that's, you know, processed foods. But if you look through human history at any, you know, successful long-term civilization around the world, and you know, anything from the Aztec people, the people from Asia, you know, in the Middle East, in South America, these are people that have all lived on starch-based diets.
Yeah.
And there's a book that I read recently. It's called The Starch Solution, and it was something that I was struggling with too. Is I mean, if you're talking about long-term storable foods and building a survival pantry and kitchen, frozen food is just not a great option.
Right.
Fresh meat and dairy, those aren't great options. Yeah, you can get freeze-dried varieties of these, which I highly recommend. But you're going to have to be able to eat these starchy foods. And in that book, The Starch Solution, there's a doctor that's been treating people for about 40 years on starch-based diets. And I would say that the bigger problem is dairy and factory farmed meat and processed food, which is loaded with preservatives. You go try to buy a bag of cereal anymore that doesn't have BHT in it. Now, BHT is often found as a preservative in bacon and in chewing gum. There's been many studies that show that these type of foods are inflammatory, particularly dairy. I mean, I drove by a dairy on the highway recently, and these cows were basically, there was about 1,000 Holstein cows, and they were on these hills of manure, just giant mountains of manure, and they were laying in it and all that. There's no grass anywhere, and those cows are being milked, and that's dairy that goes out and people are drinking. Right. Now, that cannot be a healthy food. So I think a lot of the inflammation issues that people have and allergies and all that have to do with our sort of mass-produced factory farm system. Now, I know a lot of older people that, you know, like my mother-in-law from Germany, potatoes. I mean, it's a mainstay of the diet in Germany, and wheat, yes, things like that. And they never had any of these issues. These are only springing up in modern times.
Yes.
So I would say that, you know, and I've tested every kind of diet personally, from a paleo diet to a ketogenic diet and then to a plant-based diet that's, you know, centered around starch. And I do quite well on a starch-based diet. I also can do well on a ketogenic diet. But if you're on diets like that, a paleo diet, you can't be buying garbage from the store. You have to be, you know, getting meat from small producers. I mean, in Montana, there's a lot of places that you can get meat from small family farms. There's a lot of options out there to get clean food, and that's the quality of the ingredients is often overlooked.
Yeah.
And you can't be eating meat that's got a lot of hormones in it, and you know.
Well, I know, Keith. I know you cover this stuff in your courses, and so we just got about just under a minute left. So let's please get the resources out there, the website and the other stuff, so they can go and get more information on this and get educated.
Well, if they go to foodstoragefeast.com, they'll find the course there. And I put together a coupon code for your audience, and it's just RFR, like Radio Free Redoubt. And that'll save $20 off the course, so you can get it for $79. And that's a significant discount over what we normally charge.
Perfect.
So foodstoragefeast.com is where the course is. And check out my Harvest Eating website. You can search for all of my Thanksgiving recipes on there. If anybody needs any personal help, they can always reach out to me, keith@harvesteating.com. I'd be happy to help with Thanksgiving. Also, facebook.com/harvesteating. So
got it.
That's where it all lives.
We'll put all those links and our highlights and resources posting. Keith Snow, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you for all that you're doing. Join us tomorrow night, radiofreeredoubt.com, for our weekly podcast. You have a blessed week and a happy Thanksgiving.